Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profile. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, everyone. Welcome in to the weekend edition of the KE Report. Corey Fleck here along with Chad Marquitz. We are your hosts for this weekend show. Also your hosts throughout the week on our website, kereport.com, and podcast, Corlin Economics Report. Chad did a lot of the heavy lifting this week as I was away for most of this week, and next week I'm away for most of next week too. So we are chatting with Jesse Felder, founder and editor of the Felder Report, and we are recording this on Tuesday, about halfway through the day. That means we do not have the Fed meeting behind us. We will focus more at the end of this show on maybe some of the Fed comments and market reactions post-meeting. But I want to more talk big picture with you here, Jesse. And we were talking off mic regarding some of the volatility, a lot of volatility that we've seen in a wide range of markets, very headline-driven markets. And I simply asked you, what are you watching out there? What are you using as a barometer to see the way markets are positioning? And what do you think is the most important to watch? You mentioned the chart of the 30-year Treasury yield. Can you break down why you think this is so important, where this 30-year is standing currently just below 2.5%?
Yeah, well, I do think this is the most important chart in the world to pay attention to right now. And they say, you know, picture's worth a thousand words. I'm going to try and describe this chart without being able to show it to your audience, and I'll try and keep it less than a thousand words. But, you know, at the depths of the great financial crisis, we saw bonds rally hard. Yields came down hard. And the 30-year yield came down from about, you know, leading into the crisis in 2007, hit about 5.5% in the summer of 2007 before rolling over. And at the bottom, it bottomed out at around 2.5%. And that mark of 2.5%, that low, represented support for the 30-year Treasury yield for about a decade afterwards, where it tested in 2012, 2015, 16, it tested those lows again. And it was not until the onset of the pandemic that we really broke down convincingly below 2.5. And really since that breakdown, 2.5 has now represented resistance, important technical resistance. We tested it. I'm sorry, it was 2019 when we broke down below that pre-pandemic. And then the pandemic lows took it down to below 1%. So since that 2019 breakdown, and that was kind of really in the slowdown in the midst of the repo crisis, the yield has formed essentially an inverted head and shoulders bottom pattern with the neckline right at 250. We're approaching that neckline again. And to me, that's a potential major reversal, you know, a multi-year pattern like that. And if it breaks higher, we're looking at, you know, a projection on the upside of, you know, potentially, you know, 4%, something like that on the 30-year. Now, Stan Druckenmiller recently said that with the Fed getting out of the QE game and ending its asset purchases really just in the last week or two, the bond market's going to start to send real signals that we can pay attention to again. And so this is one of the things I'm looking at. I really do think that the Fed has never been as far behind the curve as they are today. The bond market really hasn't pressed them in that regard, right? Because they've been dominating and suppressing yields for so massively and for so long that, you know, we have the bond market vigilantes, so to speak, you know, have been essentially sidelined. But now I think if we break out above this 2.5% level, this would be a, you know, breakout back above this key resistance area, and also would represent a breakout out of a downtrend that goes back to 1994. So we have like basically a three-decade-long downtrend in rates that's potentially going to break to the upside here. That to me would be a very clear signal that the bond vigilantes are back, that the Fed is going to be, you know, the Fed's going to have its feet held to the fire, so to speak, in terms of their being so far behind the curve. And it has, you know, implications for essentially every other asset price, you know, in the on the planet, most notably the stock market, I think.
Yeah, Jesse, it's definitely going to be interesting to see the bond market vigilantes have a breath of fresh air after such a long respite. And it's interesting that after a 12-year emergency bond buying, you know, accommodative QE, that now that the Fed has pulled out their talons and stopped doing that $120 billion a month of bond purchases, that we may have seen, a peak in the bond market and rates raising higher. You put out a piece just, I think, last weekend or in the last week or so, and it talked about the comments about the Fed being so far behind the curve that and getting ready to start this rate hiking cycle that it could be one of the biggest policy errors on record to have started this far behind the curve, where we've got CPI rates at 7.9%, essentially 8%, and the Fed funds rate still at zero, hasn't even got off the mat yet. So I'd love you to expand on that concept a little bit.
Yeah, and that was a quote, I think, from Mohammed Alarian, who's, you know, one of the most astute Fed watchers and bond market managers in the world, who did say that this mistake that we're in the midst of right now, this is not just something that's, you know, done with, right? The Fed admitted inflation's not transitory, but that mistake of deciding to intentionally stay behind the curve when inflation was ramping up to its highest levels in decades, it will, you know, potentially be the biggest mistake in Fed history. When you look back, I mean, just to understand how far behind the curve we are, I think, Jim Grant wrote recently in Grant's Interest Rate Observer, the Fed could literally raise rates at every meeting for the next, by a 0.25% for the next 35 meetings and still not get to where the Taylor rule says the Fed funds rate should be. That's how far, 35 consecutive meetings raise rates and still not get to where rates should be. You look back at the last time inflation was 8% and the Fed funds rate was in the teens. I'm talking about, you know, early 80s. I mean, that was on when inflation was kind of coming down from higher levels. When you look at back, I think it was 1973, the first time on the way up during the Great Inflation, when inflation first hit that 7.9%, the Fed was ahead of it, was raising rates. I think Fed funds was over 8%, maybe 9% back then in 73 when inflation was hitting those levels. And so to think that the Fed was essentially matching the rate of inflation back then and still inflation proceeded to accelerate higher over the years to come in an out of control fashion. To think that we're at zero today on Fed funds, with the same rate of inflation, it's just, to me, it's obscene. I think if you were to just ask maybe 10 years ago, 20 years ago, take a poll of the biggest institutional money managers on the planet and say, inflation CPI, headline inflation is at 8% and the Fed funds rate is zero, what does your portfolio look like? I think, you know, that would be a very interesting experiment, because I think you would have a very little ownership of stocks, very little ownership of bonds, and people would be saying, I want to be 100% in gold. And now that we're in that situation, people are, I think, only starting to come around to this idea that you need to really protect. The Fed has never been so far behind the curve. You need to protect yourself.
Yeah, Jesse, you know what? It's a very different environment right now, and now the Fed is going to be starting to tighten, and that brings in a whole other list of complexities for the markets and also for, I think, the investor and the consumer who is getting squeezed, unfortunately. So that's the big question mark when it comes to inflation, I think, is just how much the consumer is getting hurt and how much they're going to be able to even continue to drive the at least demand side for a lot of goods, which continue to rise in price. But hey, we're going to have you back on next segment, and we're going to continue our conversation probably a bit more focused on more of an investment narrative as well, because there's a lot to talk about when it comes to commodities markets and how they are pricing some of the future expectations of Fed rate hikes and all these other components that we're dealing with around the world. So everybody stick around. We are going to be right back with Jesse Felder.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com. And an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report, and we are continuing to chat with Jesse Felder. Jesse, before we leave this inflation topic, I just want one more kind of summary comment from you here regarding just how much higher you think inflation could go if there is another spike higher you see in the forecast for inflation, and how much quicker or higher could the markets reprice interest rates in your eyes?
Well, I think, you know, there is a probability, and even before the war in Ukraine, this was, you know, a bigger issue. I think that we could see a peak in inflation readings sometimes over the next several months. Now with energy prices spiking over the last few weeks, that maybe, you know, gets pushed out a bit. But what I'm most worried about is that, you know, I think a lot of people might see, oh, wait, look, headline CPI hit 8.5 or whatever in March. In April, it came down back down to 7, maybe even 6, June, July, something like this. People say, oh, wow, there's the cyclical peak. We don't need to worry about inflation anymore. But when you think about, okay, let's say inflation comes back down to 3, 4, 5% a year from now. Well, you're talking about 3, 4, 5% readings on top of 6, 7, 8% readings. That's not a good sign. I mean, to me, when you look at, to try and understand where we are in terms of inflation, take CPI over the last 10, 15 years, anytime post, you know, GFC essentially, and just plot it, not the year over year, but just like a simple, you know, price chart of CPI. And compare it to its trend, its pre-pandemic trend. And you'll see that we are so far above the pre-pandemic trend right now that you almost need to have deflation or at least 0% inflation for many, many months to get back to trend. And that's my biggest concern. I don't think the Fed has, you know, even the ability, let alone the will, to bring us back to trend without creating a very painful recession. And so, you know, that's really the debate right now. Is the Fed willing to create a very painful recession in order to rein in inflation, or are they going to err to the side, like they have been doing, obviously, err to the side of protecting employment and allow inflation to keep running hot?
Well, Jessica, you had said if you had pulled those investment managers and fund managers 10, 20 years ago and gave them the scenario we have today, that a lot of them would have wanted to be in gold. And we have seen gold move higher. And we have seen most of the commodities move higher, but we've also seen this corrective move just over the end of last week, beginning of this week, where a lot of those gains were given up that we saw since the Ukraine crisis. Is the commodities rally over, or is this just a pause that refreshes?
Well, I think that's a really good question, but I love the fact that you said a lot of people are thinking that this is over, because that's not how bull markets peak, right? Bull markets peak when everybody is absolutely euphoric, and then you go through, then prices roll over and you go through a period of denial where everybody's trying to buy the dip. That's where we are in the stock market right now, where everybody thinks, hey, the market's down 10-15%, it's time to buy, right? That buy the dip mentality. And the fact that we don't have that buy the dip mentality in commodities makes me feel actually very, very bullish. And I do think we are in, we've talked about this several times, we're in a long-term bull market for real assets, I think we're entering the early phases early innings of a bear market in financial assets. And so what does that mean? That means, I think we are in an environment where you want to sell rallies in stocks and bonds and you want to buy dips in commodities. And the fact that sentiment is just the opposite makes me feel very comfortable with that kind of a contrarian thesis. I do think, to me, it's also helpful for me to look at gold producers positioning in the gold futures market. And it was amazing to me when we saw gold spike that I've been watching this for a long time, that producers essentially not selling forward any product at all. I mean, it's fascinating to me to see them position so bullishly, even as gold has been surging for the last several weeks. It tells me that the smartest of the smart money doesn't see this as the peak. They see this as, you know, just the beginning of a larger trend. You see a similar situation in, you know, crude oil too, where commercial hedgers, commercial traders in crude are not selling, you know, are not very net short, not anywhere near what you typically see at longer term price peaks. And so to me, that tells me that you have speculators are still, you know, bearish in gold and oil and generally wanting to sell rallies rather than buy dips. And so, you know, that gives me some confidence that the smart money is still very bullish.
That's a very different environment for the precious metals to have this more buy the dip mentality. So Jesse, when you look at the gold chart, there was, it looks like a pretty solid bottom put in around 1675. That was hit two times in 2021. And since the August time frame when that was last hit, we have seen successful higher lows and higher highs. Break down this chart for us and some of the key levels you're watching as gold is correcting from that near 2100 level it hit just a couple weeks ago.
Well, I mean, you could, I look at, you know, the 11, 12 year chart of the gold price, and you see a huge rounding bottom, you know, from the 2011 price peak down to 2015, the 2015 lows, and then, you know, back up to kind of test those highs in 2020. We broke out higher. And the correction, the way I look at it from since that 2020 high, is basically just consolidation above support around 1750 in the gold price. And now we're seeing another, you know, breakout higher out of this consolidation range. And the price, we, you know, tested that 2075-ish peak, you know, from 2020. You don't expect anything, you know, whether we're talking stocks, commodities, to just break through a previous price peak without some type of, you know, consolidation. I think that's what we're seeing. We saw price rally up in the last few weeks to test that high from almost 2 years ago. And it's consolidating again before the next move higher. But I will say one of the things I've been following for literally 5-6 years now is a fascinating price analog of the last gold bull market. And it's astounding to me how accurate it's been. You just basically overlay the price chart of the, you know, gold bull market from, you know, 2001 to 2011 over the current bull market. And the price lows, you know, back to 2015 line up perfectly with, you know, roughly 2000. And it actually called the consolidation that we saw from 2020 until now, like about an 18-month consolidation. I even wrote to my subscribers, look, this price analog, it's kind of silly to just rely only on a price analog, but it's suggesting that we could have it like a 2-year sideways movement here to just basically digest the recent gains. And it points to this analog now is pointing to a much higher move. If you just look at that previous bull market, I think it's going to be around the 2004, probably 5-6 time frame in gold, something like that. And I think it was, you know, that was a very, very strong move higher in the gold price. I think we're going to see something similar. It could take gold as high as 3,000 an ounce.
All right, Jesse, we're out of time for the radio segment, but you know what? We're going to continue this conversation. So everybody listening on the radio, come visit our website, kereport.com, and click on that weekend show posting to hear this full interview with Jesse Felder.
To find out more about today's guest, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
You trust your mother, right? She's always taken care of you and always tried to give you good advice when you ask for it. And sometimes, even when you don't. Well, even though she might not mention it, Mom very likely has neck, back, and shoulder pains. And she needs relief. So trust this good advice. Give back to Mom this Mother's Day with quality products from Sunnybay. Like our disposable heat patches. They're back in stock now and target neck and shoulder pain in adults of all ages. Or our extra long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs. Mom can heat them in her microwave, and they come in a variety of colors and patterns. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews on Amazon when you search Sunny Bay Heating Wraps. And shop now in time for Mother's Day. There's no shipping delays from Sunny Bay. Find us on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay Neck Wraps. Order now because stock is high and shipping is fast. From Sunny Bay.
USA Radio News. The Norwegian military said a U.S. military aircraft with four people on board crashed in the northern part of the country while on a NATO military exercise. The V-22 Osprey aircraft went down in bad weather in an area with rough terrain. The incident has been confirmed by the Marines, and an investigation is underway. The fate of the people on board is not known. China's health authorities reported 2 COVID-19 deaths on Saturday as that country battles its worst outbreak in 2 years, driven by a surge in the highly transmissible Omicron variant. Nationwide, China has reported more than 29,000 confirmed cases since the beginning of this month.
Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin is in Bulgaria today as Russia's war on Ukraine enters its fourth week, speaking at a joint news conference with Bulgarian Prime Minister Petkov.
Russia's aggression has galvanized the Ukrainian people, NATO, and the free world.
This is USA Radio News. Texas Governor Greg Abbott signed a disaster declaration because of raging wildfires near Abilene. Fire officials say the Eastlands Complex fires have burned over 45,000 acres and are only 10% contained.
Already we know that there have been at least 50 homes that have been lost. Probably as we are able to better surveil damages here in the coming days, we will find more than that.
The Los Angeles Unified School District announced it will lift mandates as COVID-19 infection rates continue to plunge. The nation's second largest school district said it will drop requirements by next Wednesday after reaching an agreement with the teachers' union, although other virus safety measures will remain in place through the school year. Americans are getting some relief on prices at the pump, even as oil climbs back above $100 a barrel. House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy.
Whether you're at the pump, the supermarket, or virtually everywhere else Americans are spending money, they are paying the highest prices in living memory.
This is USA Radio News.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. I hope everybody enjoyed those first two segments with Jesse Felder. In these final two segments of the show, we are chatting with Rick Bensignor, president of Bensignor Investment Strategies. Writes the institutional newsletter, Supposedly Irrelevant Factors, that is read by some of the most successful hedge funds in the world. And on the retail side, he writes the In the Know Trader and a piece called 7-Eleven, where Rick chooses no more than 7 of the 11 spider ETFs with the goal to beat the S&P. Rick, I want to talk big picture with you regarding central banks, not just the Fed, but central banks around the world are generally going through a tightening process. They are more hawkish than they have been in a number of years. And the Fed, hey, they hiked rates this week and are forecasting more rate hikes. You listen to what Bullard had to say after the rate hikes, and he wants a 3% Fed funds rate by the end of the year. That seems a bit aggressive. This whole concept, though, of central banks tightening, when we look to the U.S. equity markets, how can anybody project a more bullish market or higher prices when we're not having all that free money that, well, was the narrative of driving these markets higher? That's off the board now. So where would that money come from?
Well, the money can come from other asset classes, even notably bonds. If rates are going to, well, here, I'm going to make the assumption that the 40-year bull market in bonds is over, that the low we saw a couple of years ago is the low, down at, I think, 39 bips or something like that in the U.S. 10-year, and that 40-year bull that started essentially 1980, 1981 is over. So we can go sideways for a while, which won't really generate a lot of money coming out of the bond market, or rates will make their way higher over time, which is what I think likely happens. And therefore, by the very fact that rates go higher, it means bond prices go lower. So you have people selling bonds, and they have to decide what to do with that money. And some of it will come to the stock market, and therefore it does create some potential additional buying power for the stock market. It won't offset the fact that the Fed is no longer supportive of putting essentially free money into the system, which has propped up the market since the financial crisis of 2007 through 2009. So you've lost probably the biggest determinant of what has pushed prices higher over time. But it doesn't mean we have to go into a bear market or a prolonged bear market in the stock market. And higher rates aren't necessarily bad for the stock market. I've said before, I think the 10-year could probably get to 3, even 3.5% before it really makes a huge dent into the buyers of the stock market, where if once you start getting 3.5% or more guaranteed, I think you take some people out of the stock market, especially after the years of run it's had on the upside, and essentially you're presenting an alternative investment that has no risk as far as you collecting your coupon and getting your money back at the end. So I'm going to again assume that the U.S. will never default on its treasuries. So there are ways to cushion the fact that you no longer have an accommodative Fed. That being said, that was the single biggest ingredient to why the market has moved up as much as it has in the last 14 years or 13 years or so, I guess, since the March 09 bottom. And it diminishes over time how much you would expect out of the stock market on an annual basis.
Well, those are some salient points, Rick, because that was the juice that gave the markets the big impetus to pull off one of the largest and longest bull markets in recent memory. And so with that accommodative buying coming out and with that liquidity coming out, of course, we can't expect the same kind of returns we've seen for the last dozen or so years. You made an interesting point there in the bond market, though, that, you know, a lot of people have mentioned that it's possible that 40-year bond bubble has burst. And as we see rates come up, there is that question of what role will treasuries have. If the Fed does get their Fed funds rate to 2%, then a 3.5% 10-year wouldn't be that unusual. I guess the question I would have is, do you really think that in an environment where inflation is 5, 6, 7, even a 7.9% on the last reading, there would still be a negative real rate or a negative real return even at 3% or 3.5%? So is there going to be a migration out of bonds and into the other asset classes like the stock market, gold, cryptos, what have you? And is the whole model that the financial industry uses about having such a huge weighting to bonds, the historic 60-40, 60% equities, 40% bonds model, does that need to be turned upside down in its head and reexamined?
Well, I think the latter is correct in the sense that it should be reexamined. I don't know if I'd turn it upside down on its head. But if you're going into a potential lengthy bear market in bonds, then I'm not sure I want to be putting in anything close to 40% of a portfolio into the bond market. I don't like the idea of almost essentially having guaranteed losses, which you will have if you buy bonds and the price of bonds goes lower. So, yes, you collect your coupon payment, but you're going to lose on the actual bonds. So I think it really, the answer to that, Chad, has a lot to do with what your age is. If you're 70 years old, then you probably want to have at least 50%, if not more than that, in the bond market, because once you're past the point of earning active income from employment, and your income really comes from fixed income and other investments, you want to kind of know it's there to last you the rest of your life. If I was 30 years old, there's no way I'd want a 60-40 split. I'd much want to be, I think if you're 30 years old, you probably want 80-20 or potentially even 90-10, because you've got at least minimally a 40-year time horizon in a retirement account before you're going to touch that money. And you want to be essentially in the most aggressive places you can be. I don't mean speculative in the case of Bitcoin or something like that, but I'd much rather be, you know, if I'm a young adult and starting off life as an adult and maybe just newly married and starting a family, and I'm kind of in that 30 to 40 year age group, let's even put it 25 to 40, I want to be putting the bulk of my retirement, anything I'm putting away into a company 401k plan, or if you're self-employed into your own SEP IRA, I want to be in stocks, and I don't really want to be in bonds. So I'd probably be at least 80-20, because that's your best chance for real growth over the next 40 years. And, you know, pick another investment over that type time horizon that does better than stocks, and you're not going to find one. So you disregard the, you know, 3-month decline that we've had now and to scare you off. And, you know, I tell my kids, I have a 31-year-old daughter and a 28-year-old daughter and a 23-year-old son. So two of them are working and the youngest one is in grad school. Two are working. I tell them put their money into S&P 500 funds and aggressive type funds, because you'll be glad you did when you look at it on a 40-year time horizon. And that's what they're looking at, assuming there's still some type of deferred compensation plans that the government lets you take advantage of, and you're not going to pay tax on that money until you're 70, or, and by the time they hit 70, that number could be 75 or 80, who knows, when you'd have to start taking out the money. These are long-term, multi-decade investments. You want to be in stocks. You don't want to be in bonds. Not when your time horizon is that long.
Yeah, you are right, Rick. History has shown that, and quite frankly, these markets and stocks continue to, I think, broadly outperform. Look at all the money that was created over the last decade plus, and it has landed in the market. So it's all about selecting the sectors, I think, that are the leaders, because, hey, that changes, and right now we have seen a pretty big change in terms of which sectors are leading. Everyone, stick around. We're going to be right back with Rick Bensinger.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
You trust your mother, right? She's always taken care of you and always tried to give you good advice when you ask for it. And sometimes, even when you don't. Well, even though she might not mention it, Mom very likely has neck, back, and shoulder pains. And she needs relief. So trust this good advice. Give back to Mom this Mother's Day with quality products from Sunny Bay, like our disposable heat patches. They're back in stock now and target neck and shoulder pain in adults of all ages, or our extra long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs. Mom can heat them in her microwave, and they come in a variety of colors and patterns. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews on Amazon when you search Sunny Bay Heating Wraps, and shop now in time for Mother's Day. There's no shipping delays from Sunny Bay. Find us on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay Neck Wraps. Order now, because stock is high and shipping is fast. From Sunny Bay.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com, and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
All right, crew, let's get her dug.
Honey, you want to give me a hand? I'm planting that tree, remember?
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, You must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. You must call 811 at least 2 to 3 business days before any digging project so you can avoid hitting our essential buried utilities. This includes natural gas and petroleum pipelines, electric, communication cables, and water and sewer lines. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811. Brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.
Everyone, welcome back. Here we are wrapping up the weekend edition of the KE Report, and we are continuing to chat with Rick Bensignor. Now, Rick, this segment, starting off with what you like out there. What stocks do you want to be into right now? Because what led the market for the last maybe even decade was the tech sector, this high-flying tech sector. Everyone was okay with companies not making any sort of profit. They just wanted to see, I guess, more money being raised and more users or whatever metric they were judging into that company. What sectors do you like now? Because tech has been under a lot of pressure.
Well, yes. So the tech sector, Corey, obviously got its valuations essentially rewritten. And the marketplace investors were no longer willing to take the high multiples the way they were when the Fed was accommodative. Now that we know for sure they're not going to be accommodative. So a huge compression on multiples. I think you still have to be in tech. But what I'm going to do and what I'll be telling my clients to do is to use the rally in tech to lighten the amount of exposure they have in that sector relative to their overall exposure. So I certainly want to be in tech, and I want to be slightly overweight, but I don't want to be heavily overweight. So if tech makes up, I don't know, 28%, give or take, of the S&P, to me, it's fine being, 32%. You don't want to be 35% or something like that or more in tech. It certainly has hurt you for the last couple months, and we will bounce somewhat from here, but I would use that to essentially take down the amount of overweight. But to me, if you're running a diversified portfolio, you have to be in tech because it, and your benchmark to the S&P, you have to have it because it's the biggest weight by far. Where I'm strongly overweight and have been since August of last summer is energy. And that's a place that I think not only has it been a disaster to be invested in energy relative to any other sector of the 11 macro sectors of the market for the last 20 years, and there are periods that there are a couple years along the way it did outperform. But if you look at, let's use XLE, the S&P Spider Energy ETF. XLE has underperformed not just the market over 20 years, but you actually have, you're down money if you invested in energy starting in the year 2000. And there's no other sector of the market. Think about it. 20 years, this market has had explosive growth in price, the S&P, and you're actually down money in the energy sector. I think, and I made this call months ago, that underperformance is done for quite some time, such that there'll be dramatic capital expenditures into the area going forward. To me, the energy sector, I'm not saying it takes the place of technology. It won't, certainly in weightings. Energy is 3.5% of the S&P. Tech is, like I said, about 28%. So I'm not looking for them to overlap that way. But it's very possible that if you look over the next 5 years, energy could potentially outperform technology. So it's a place I want to be heavily invested in and overweight for years to come. So that's another place. Obviously, financials is a segment of the market you want to be in and overweight, considering that if interest rates go higher, that's how banks and money institutions make their money. They borrow short term, they lend long term, and they make the spread in between. And it's a very profitable business. So financials are a place that, I want to be. I think generally industrials are fine. The consumer on the discretionary side will get a bounce on this big bounce. And they've been the worst performer of the year. So that should correct some of itself and you get a little more return to equilibrium pricing. But I'm not sure I want to be hugely overweight like XLY going forward. So I'll use, I think, a bounce in that too to probably reduce some of the exposure we have there. But those are sectors I'm kind of looking at. I'm not a fan of staples. I'm not a fan of utilities, even though utilities have done well. I think it's a short-term thing. REITs, the classic defensive sectors I'm not in. I am overweight healthcare. I went overweight, I think it was either December 1st or January 1st. So, and that's been doing fine too. So that has outperformed since we turned overweight in it in that 7-Eleven report that you referenced in my introduction. Just to give you a sense also, that report that I write through our In the Know Trader platform, and that's for individual investors, not institutional. It's for individual investors and financial consultants, FAs, financial advisors. In the month of February, we outperformed the S&P by 22 basis points for our fiscal year, which happens to rotate on an August 1st calendar each year. So since August of last summer, we're outperforming the S&P by 2.22%. And since we started this in summer of 2020, so that's 19 months ago, we have outperformed the S&P by 5.67% in 19 months. So being able to use a combination of technicals and quant modeling, we can generally figure out which sectors you want to be in and overweight and which sectors you don't want in your portfolio. And so out of the 11, we max out at 7. We do no less than 5 and no more than 7 to have in. We change our allocation once a month at the beginning of the month. So the report comes out the last day of the month that's ending to give you the allocations for the next month. And we are essentially, with those type statistics, we are in the top 10% of all active money managers out there. And this is simply telling you how to invest your own money using the 11 spider ETFs.
Rick, how do you view the rest of the commodity complex, like base metals? Because those have been on a run. Even copper, it has pulled back from all-time highs, but the general commodity sector has gone on a run. Obviously, that has been helped by the major move in energy. But base metals, how do you view these in terms of balancing out, again, a tightening monetary policy, but more, I guess, countries, more governments looking to spend money in commodities, in infrastructure build-outs?
Well, I think that's the key, is it's the infrastructure build-out that's not only being negotiated here in the U.S., but other parts of the world, too. Now, typically, China is your largest buyer of those type metals, and you often can get a sense when you look at the price of copper of what's going on in the Chinese economy. But, things are a little goofy these days simply because China has pre-built multiple cities with huge sky-rise apartments and stuff that are completely empty. They are planning for the future, and they have done a tremendous infrastructure build over the last 10, 20 years that so far hasn't even been put to use. So their demand right now has eased, yet other places in the world have kind of picked up some of that slack. Also in the commodities market, and this is a market that I grew up in. I was a trader in the commodity pits for 12 years in New York before I ever got to Morgan Stanley and became a strategist there. So I'm deeply knowledgeable about commodity markets. I trade them every day. I trade for a fund, too, where I'm one of the portfolio managers that globally trade commodities for them. So this is a market I know well. And there are times that things happen in the commodity markets that are very specific to the fact that these are structured contracts that have expiration dates and people get caught in the wrong direction. And so you saw that in nickel. You've seen the price of wheat dramatically rise. It's more than double of what it was, I think, since last summer because Russia is a strong exporter of wheat, and with what's going on, there's less demand for their wheat, so U.S. wheat prices and Canadian prices have moved up dramatically. There are times that events occur that take place inside these markets that can really bring extreme prices into play, and if you're on the wrong side of those, they can be very painful. If you're short a commodity that goes limit up day after day, you can't get out. And eventually when you can, it's probably only because it's the peak.
All right, Rick, we're wrapping up the weekend show, but I really appreciate you spending all this time with us. And, hey, congratulations on that record against the S&P. I know throughout the years that we've been chatting, you have been calling the trends correctly, and even some of your short-term trading techniques have panned out nicely for you. So we always appreciate you taking time to share your thoughts with us. Again, Rick is president of Finsenior Investment Strategies. Everybody, thank you for taking time on your weekend to listen to our show. Please keep in touch with Shad and I through email, flex@kereport.com or shad@kereport.com. We hope you all have a great rest of your weekend.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
You trust your mother, right? She's always taken care of you and always tried to give you good advice when you ask for it. And sometimes even when you don't. Well, even though she might not mention it, Mom very likely has neck, back, and shoulder pains. And she needs relief. So trust this good advice. Give back to Mom this Mother's Day with quality products from Sunnybay. Like our disposable heat patches. They're back in stock now and target neck and shoulder pain in adults of all ages. Or our extra long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs. Mom can heat them in her microwave, and they come in a variety of colors and patterns. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews on Amazon when you search Sunny Bay Heating Wraps. And shop now in time for Mother's Day. There's no shipping delays from Sunny Bay. Find us on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay Neck Wraps. Order now because stock is high and shipping is fast. From Sunny Bay.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body Brain and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. You've seen crazy diets to lose weight? At GCN Team, our healthy body weight loss system simply neutralizes the body, bringing down cravings. It has been proven that nutritional deficiencies drive appetite for carbs, sugars, and fats. Lose weight the easy way. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Fighting cravings is a fool's game. Give the body what it needs to be satisfied. Again, 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.